This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
This is Pastor Alex. In the church here alone, recording last Sunday's message, because unfortunately we had some technical issues and both the lapel and the pulpit microphones were not picked up on the recording. And I'm blessed to know of the many people that are able to listen to our messages on our website. And so I'm going to give this message again, not as a sermon preached to the church, but as a sort of a devotional talk given like we did when we were in our lockdown period and we're not meeting here in the church house. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Luke as we go through our study in the book of Luke. And we're in Luke chapter 6. Our scripture passage is Luke chapter 6 and the first 11 verses. And God's word says this: Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? But Jesus answering them said, Have you not even read this, what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some of those with him, some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he said to them, The Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now it happened on another Sunday also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, Arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus answered to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, Stretch out your hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that your truth is timeless. I thank you that you are the Lord of our lives. And I pray that you would guide us into your word and how you want us to know that you are Lord of the Sabbath. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go through the book of Luke, I am constantly reminded how everything Jesus taught always pointed to himself. It all goes back to Christ. All religious duties, all personal pursuits, all of life's ambitions must bring us closer to Christ. Jesus is our friend, and the farther the world strays from Jesus, the darker it will become. But the closer one comes to Christ, the brighter and fuller and sweeter the life. We come to another difficult passage. Last week, we looked at Jesus' use of parables to teach us to always be ready for whatever he brings into our lives. And the objects used in his parables were a little outdated for us 21st century folk. Nevertheless, the lesson was timeless. Always be ready for Christ. This morning we are presented with a statement that has probably confused us all. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Okay. Amen. But what does that mean? I think it best to explain the passage in its fullness and then bring out that wonderful truth of Christ's lordship over our rest. You see, the Jewish people are the most blessed people in human history, but unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, they were the people God decided to record all their history. And from their lowest periods of depravity to their highest periods of prosperity, it's in our Bibles. At one point, they forgot God. They forsook Him and started following other gods because they bore the name of Yahweh, our holy God. And because they bore His name when they rejected Him and followed the surrounding nations, God in His holiness scattered them across the nations in judgment in hopes that they would repent. And repent they did, as God graciously brought them back into their homeland. And one of the things that they neglected was the Sabbath. So when they returned, their ambition was to obey the Lord and keep the Sabbath. And this they did. However, over time, instead of what they did previously, which was prostituting themselves to surrounding nations, they built an empire of religion that was increasingly losing sight of the heart of the matter. This is the danger of every Christian, forgetting the heart of the matter. See, after the return to the homeland, the Pharisees created the 39 articles of the Melakot. These are 39 activities prohibited on Shabbat, that is the Sabbath. And one of these activities that was prohibited was separating grain from chaff. For this meant that field work was being done. Now there was, in the Old Testament, a law that permitted someone, if they were traveling throughout a neighbor's field, they were permitted to take the grain and to eat it. Or if they were going throughout a neighbor's vineyard, they were permitted to take the grapes and to eat it. However, they were not permitted to take a basket or a sickle and, you know, harvest their neighbor's grain. That would be stealing. But they were permitted to take freely with their hands and eat if they're hungry. And here in our text, we have the disciples walking throughout their neighbor's field, taking of the grain and eating it for themselves. And what happens is that the Pharisees look at the disciples and they say, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" Because they considered that activity work. They considered it part of the 39 articles of the Melakot. And in response, Jesus brings them back to the heart of the matter. And He reminds the priests of a time in David's day when David was fleeing from Saul. And he came to the priest Ahimelech, and he said to the priest that, you know, "Is there any food here for me and my men? We are here on the matter of a king." And the priest said, "Well, there's nothing here except for the showbread." And if you remember, the showbread was, there were 12 loaves that were baked weekly, and on the Sabbath, the new 12 were put on the table, and the old 12 were given to the priests to eat, to the priests alone. And these individuals, and David and his men, came to the priest, and he asked for food, and the priest said, "Well, the only bread here is the show bread," and he gave it to them, because they were hungry. They were starving. And so he says that this is an example that the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath, because as David was there on the matter of the king, so Christ is there on the Sabbath on the matter of being Lord of the universe. And again, the Pharisees lost the heart of the matter, and they tried to accuse Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. In verse 6, another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath. Because in their rules for Sabbath breaking and Sabbath keeping, one was that they were not permitted to heal on the Sabbath. Now, they were permitted to heal in matters of emergency situations. You know, if some person got run over by a donkey, then they could come to their aid and heal them. But if it was a chronic illness, a prolonged illness, like a shriveled hand or an internal bleeding for many years, they were not permitted to heal. That is to say, they were not permitted to go out into the field and grab a handful of herbs and pluck them and put them into a grinder with different ingredients and grind together a salve or some sort of medicine. And here's Jesus saying, you're forgetting the heart of the matter. It's better to do good on the Sabbath than to do evil. It's better to save life than to destroy. Some translations say to save life or to kill. The moment you lose the heart of the matter, religion becomes a shell, a whitewashed tomb. It's void of what was intended by the regulation. It's void of what the purpose was for the practice. The question is, how does this relate to us today? Everybody remembers the days when Sunday was a day of rest. Businesses were closed, people went to church, and then they stayed at home or met with families. It was a day seen as sacred. But then something started to happen that changed that perspective. Now Sundays are just any other day. Society in general started to lose the heart of the matter. Now, there is still a remnant of that old mentality. I work for Amish people, and my non-Amish coworker is in his 50s. He is not a church-going man. He has no desire. But I remember once how I asked him, it was Monday, I asked him how his weekend was, and he said that he did such and such on Saturday, and then on Sunday he mowed his lawn. Then immediately he got uncomfortable and said, I don't usually like to mow on Sundays. And I thought that was odd. I thought, why was that? Well, he had the remnant of that old culture. It was a generation or two before him that experienced the revivals of the early to mid-1900s. There was a flame and zeal for honoring God on Sunday. But something happened with the next generation. The tradition started to change. Now, I'm not saying if you mow your lawn on Sunday, it's a grave evil. As we'll see in our text, it matters on conscience. But it was that there was that mentality about Sunday being sacred. What happened was the inner purpose of Sunday was not maintained, but the outward observance and regulation of Sunday was maintained. Again, the inner purpose of Sunday was not maintained, but the outward observance and regulation of Sunday was maintained. Not all, but many, lost the heart of the matter. People went to church and didn't work, not out of faith to honor the Lord, but because that was what you were supposed to do. And as the heart of the matter became increasingly forgotten, yet the regulations continued to be imposed upon the next generation, which was my generation, something happened. They saw right through it. In fact, they thought about switching the days around, calling Saturday Sunday and Sunday Saturday. Why? Well, because on Saturday, everybody was in the sun, having a good old time, being festive, barbecuing, out in the sun. And on Sunday, everyone was sadder. So they thought about switching the days. My generation recognized that the older generation reverenced the day and tried to respect that. But now, the next generation, the ones growing up in our schools and growing up in our society, are actively trying to remove the sacredness of Sunday altogether. Now, I'm in a bit of a dilemma with this message, and Lord willing, by the end of this message, the dilemma is resolved. On the one hand, the Bible teaches that if your conscience is clear in matters of working, buying, selling, not coming to church because something came up, if your conscience is clear, then it is not sin. On the other hand, the fact that Sunday worship and honoring a day of rest is neglected is a major contribution to America's moral downfall. Everybody knows that if you spend a few days without sleep, you start going crazy. Well, the world has neglected the sleep of the soul. That is, the rest from the worldly activities to focus their soul's attention back on God. And as a result, the world is going crazy. Absolutely crazy. Just turn on Fox News and you'll see how much the world has gone mad. And I'm trying to figure out, on the one hand, why the Bible gives us a freedom of conscience, so if that our conscience grants us, it is not sin to shop on Sundays. It is not sin to watch the Super Bowl. It is not sin to have to work on Sunday. Yet on the other hand, the fact that in America, Sunday is no longer a sacred day set apart for God, no longer a day to rest from our labors, no longer a day that we dedicate more than an hour and a half to worship Him, that fact is one of the biggest contributions as to why America is morally declining weekly. I'm having a difficult time understanding this because I know every time I shop with a clear conscience on a Sunday, I know that they've been open, the place has been open, and people have been working since I was in church earlier that morning. But when I read the words that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, I catch a glimpse of the heart of the matter that was lost generations ago. And it makes me want to dedicate not just 2.5 hours on Sunday and an hour on Wednesday night, but all 168 hours of the week to worshiping God, heeding His word, and praying together with God's people. So where do we go back to? Do we go back 1 or 2 or 3 generations? Well, I suggest that the best thing to do is to go back not 60 years ago, not 90 years ago, but perhaps 2,000 years ago, with Jesus saying, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath," or perhaps 3,300 years ago, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses and the Fourth Commandment was given, or even perhaps further to the beginning of time, when God created this world in 6 days, and on the seventh, the Lord rested. We need to go back to the heart of the matter so that we can break the chain of generational ignorance, so we can raise up a generation of people who realize that it is ingrained in who we are as human beings to find rest for our minds, rest for our bodies, and rest for our souls. So to understand what Jesus is speaking, we need to look at first the source of the Sabbath. Where did the Sabbath come from? The source of the Sabbath, if you have your Bibles there and you're listening, turn to Genesis. Everybody knows in 6 days the Lord created the world, and on the seventh day He rested. And verse 1 of chapter 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Isn't it interesting that God rested? Have you ever stopped to think about that? I mean, he's God. He could create galaxies daily for all of eternity and never have to stop to catch his breath. And here we have an account of God resting. That's not because God needed to rest, but there was something about God resting on the seventh day that he wanted to teach us. So we see here that the source of the Sabbath was a pattern in creation. God wanted to create a pattern that we as human beings would recognize. He wanted to teach us that there's something significant about resting. So not only a pattern in creation, but the source of the Sabbath was a command at Sinai. Look at Exodus chapter 20. You don't really hear much about the Sabbath for many, many years, all throughout the book of Genesis, until we come to the Lord rescuing the Hebrew people out of the bondage of slavery in the land of Egypt. And he goes to the mountain of Sinai and he gives Moses the Ten Commandments, the ten timeless truths of God's holiness. And the fourth commandment of that ten is this in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Elsewhere, he describes the Sabbath as a sign of the covenant between the Hebrew people and their God. By resting on the seventh day, not only does God preserve a people who are mentally and physically refreshed to be productive, but God teaches them. And remember, the Jews were to be a light to the Gentiles. God teaches them that there is something about resting that is significant. So this is the source of the Sabbath. But that kind of brings us to our second dilemma, which is found in the second point of this message, the shift of the Sabbath. Did you know that the Sabbath, in all these references that we just read, is technically not Sunday? Why do we worship on Sunday? Well, we say it is because the Bible says, 6 days you shall toil and labor, and the seventh day you shall rest. But what is the first day of the week? It's not Monday. When you look on a calendar, each row of the month doesn't start with Monday. It starts with Sunday. Sunday is day one, even in the Bible. They refer to Sunday as the first day of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is day six. And the seventh day is Saturday. The Sabbath, in these references of the Old Testament, is Saturday. And everyone knows that the Jews observe the Sabbath on a Saturday. The way they formed their schedules is that the next day began that evening, not the following morning. And so from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown was the Sabbath. And I was confronted with this realization a few years ago. Once I was working with Amish, and we were at a job site doing seamless gutters. And the couple that we were doing seamless gutters for, the woman asked us and said, "Will you be completed?" This is Friday afternoon. "Will you be completed by sundown?" And we kind of looked at each other and thought, yeah, we should have this done by sundown. And she said, "Okay, because we don't believe in working from Friday night to Saturday night." It was the first time I was ever confronted with Seventh-day Adventists. And again, last year we had our church cook out, which was really a cook in because it was raining. And we had a bunch of people from the community. We advertised in the community and they came. And there was this one couple who I got in. They were a great couple, a lovely couple. I spoke with them for most of the time. And we actually had a good edifying conversation. And in the conversation, he asked me, he said, "Do you believe in keeping the Sabbath?" And I thought, oh boy, I know where he's going. They were Seventh-day Adventists. And their main point was, hey, the Sabbath keeping was part of the Ten Commandments. Should it not be observed by Christians? And I said to him, well, I believe that Christ fulfilled the law. And he said, well, because Christ fulfilled the law, do we therefore have permission to lie, murder, steal? And I explained how, what, and I'll explain in this message, how our rest is found in Christ, but nonetheless, they have a point. The Sabbath is on Saturday. So, when did the shift of the Sabbath occur, that all of a sudden everything is on Sunday? Well, the early days of Christianity were unique. The Jewish Christians were still Jewish. And they followed Jewish practices. And so they would observe the Sabbath on Saturday. And Sunday they would meet together to worship God again because it was the Lord's day. It was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. But then all of a sudden, Gentile people started getting saved. And the Jewish Christians were scratching their heads, trying to figure out what to do with these people. And some made the mistake and said, well, in order to truly be saved, one must follow the law of Moses and be circumcised and observe Jewish holidays and feasts and patterns. Well, that wasn't true because Christ fulfilled the law and there is a new covenant. And now the heart of the matter is what counts. And the outward regulations were fulfilled in Jesus. And so the Christians, both Jew and Gentile, started meeting to worship on Sunday because it was the Lord's day. Even the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, when he wrote the book of Revelation, he says, on the Lord's day, when I was praying in the Spirit. From this period on, Sunday was and has been the day that Christians regularly meet to worship God. So the question here is, does the Bible teach that all of the Old Testament laws surrounding the Saturday Sabbath are now shifted to Sunday? Technically, no. Well, is there therefore no sort of command for Christians regarding the fourth of the Ten Commandments? Technically, no. And Jesus unlocks the dilemma when he declares, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So we move from the shift of the Sabbath to the symbol of the Sabbath. The symbol of the Sabbath. What does the Sabbath represent? What was it that God was trying to teach humanity when he rested on the seventh day, when he gave that fourth commandment? We don't want to be like the Pharisees and forget the heart of the matter. What was the purpose of the rest? He was trying to teach humanity that they need rest, that they need a rest. If you join me in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus makes this unbelievable declaration, summing up what it was that the Father was trying to teach. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What you have is that on one hand, there are non-religious people who are working for the devil. You see them all over. The evil one has them captive and says, work, work, work. And there is no rest for their souls. They're constantly engaged in all kinds of sins and evils. You see them on the news. They're just in high gear, wreaking havoc. But I tell you what, it's hard labor. It wearies the soul. The devil is like the Pharaoh of Egypt, forcing his people to make brick without straw. And occasionally he gives them some meat pots to satisfy themselves. His work is destructive to the mind, body, and souls, and you can just tell that people are snapping as a result. They can't reason. They're talking gibberish about this or that issue. On the other hand, there are the religious people, like the Pharisees, who have forgotten the heart of the matter. They say, do this and do that because it is a good thing to do. Work for your salvation. Earn your way to heaven. And Jesus comes right in the middle and says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, you non-religious folk who are captive by Pharaoh devil to do his work and to serve your sinful lusts and ambitions. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Come to me, you religious folk who think you can earn your righteousness without me. Come to me and cease from your labor. Why does he say that? Because he is Lord of the Sabbath. He is the symbol of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was instituted to point to Jesus and the gospel found in his name. And so we meet weekly to remind ourselves of that fact. If you are weary, if you are burdened with the world, if you feel like you've been working for years with no goal in mind, and it's weighing heavy upon your soul, if you feel like your sin and rebellion against God has only made your life more heavy, more burdensome, more difficult, more destructive, then come to Jesus. Come to the Lord of the Sabbath. Come to Him for rest. And you'll start to sing, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what Thou art. I am finding out the greatness of Thy loving heart. This was the point of the seventh day. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. The gospel is the reason why God rested on the seventh day. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And down to verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. God rested on the seventh day because he wanted you to rest from your work for the devil and your work for the self-righteous religious regulations and find that rest in the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. But there is still a question that remains, and that brings us to our last point, the standard of the Sabbath. That is to say, what does the Sabbath mean for us today? When Jesus said, I will give you rest, we rest from our works and put our faith in Him. But as a result, some people say, well, now I don't have to work, so I can do whatever I want. But that's not the case. That's not the case. Jesus said, I will give you rest. But then He said, take my yoke upon you. He is the Lord of the Sabbath, so if you enter His rest, He is now Lord of your life, and you serve Him as a result. And now every day, not just one day, is set apart for God. The Bible gives us two standards upon how we as New Testament believers relate to that fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath. two standards of the Sabbath. The first standard is this: your conscience determines what is right or wrong, not others. Your conscience determines what is right or wrong, not others. Look at Romans chapter 14. Paul is writing to the Romans about issues that are not explicitly laid out in the Bible. And some people were saying that it was wrong to do this or that, and some people were saying that it wasn't wrong to do this or that. And in Romans chapter 14, he brings up these things. And if you look at the first 9 verses here, he says this: receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things. And you can skip down here to verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. You see that? Verse 7, none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. If you are following your Lord, he will show you how you specifically are to schedule your life. And it will be between you and Christ, and will be placed upon your conscience. And you can't answer for everyone. Everybody's all over with this issue. And only they themselves have to stand before God and give an account for how they observed the Lord's day. You know, most Christians just think that as long as you go to church, it doesn't matter what else you do afterwards. But some believe, you know, you can buy or sell, but you shouldn't work a job. Some believe that you shouldn't play a sport on Sunday. That was what Eric Little believed. Everybody knows that story of Chariots of Fire. Eric Little was a great athlete. He could run very fast, and he made his way to have a slot in the Olympics. But the sport happened to fall on a Sunday when he was to compete, and he chose not to out of conscience. Others believe it's okay to watch a sports event. Some believe that you shouldn't buy or sell on Sunday at all, like my Amish friends. Others think, you know, it's fine to go into a store and buy merchandise or go into a restaurant and eat a meal. And the question is there a universal right or wrong? Well, it depends. It depends. I do know that Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, will place on your conscience exactly what is right or wrong. And if there's something that the Lord believes is wrong for all Christians to do on a Sunday, he will lead them to do that. Now, listen, it's easy for us to justify ourselves when we don't go to church. Or even when we do go to church and worship and then do this or that activity afterwards. Or it's easy for us to justify ourselves to watch this game or buy merchandise or eat at a restaurant because of the verse I just read. It's easy for us to say, my conscience is clear on the matter. But this verse is not saying, just do what you want, don't worry about other people. What this verse is saying is that our decision to do this or that on Sunday or go to this or that church meeting is not based on what we want, but on what Christ wants us to do. And God's Word teaches, and His Spirit will lead us in what is right or wrong to do. And that leads us to the second standard of the Sabbath. The first is this: your conscience determines what is right or wrong, not others. The second standard is your conscience serves others, not yourself. Your conscience serves others, not yourself. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're in Romans. Go ahead one book to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Or skip down to verses 31 to 33. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men and all things, seeking not my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. What this verse is teaching is that we are set at liberty when we come to Christ, but not to do what we want, but to do what He calls us to do that best serves others. The Lord of the Sabbath will lead us to honor the Sabbath, to honor the Lord's Day, to honor every other day of the week in the best way to edify others. Our conscience is justified when the action best serves the needs of others. And this is very difficult to determine because we all struggle with selfishness. On the seventh day or the Lord's Day, are your or my activities best serving the needs of others? Are your or my activities best being a witness to the gospel? Just like the Sabbath, is what you do on the Lord's Day best showing the relationship you have with the Lord of the Sabbath? You see, the Pharisees' activities neglected serving others. They didn't do work on the Sabbath and condemn those who were starving and condemn those who needed healing on the Sabbath. Their rules stopped those who were suffering. That was the Pharisees, but in my opinion, now more than ever, we are dealing with a society that is not so guilty as the Pharisees, which had a mentality that was like this after the exile, but we're dealing with the Jews before the exile. The mentality in our society is that, like the Jews before the exile, where the Sabbath was neglected and idolatry was rampant. The world desperately needs to see the value that God's people place on honoring Him every day, especially on the day that everyone knows is called the Lord's Day. And I think it would be wise for every one of us to spend time in prayer with God and ask Him, Lord, You are the Lord of the Sabbath. How am I honoring Your rest? How am I being a witness to the rest I have found in You? How do You want me to spend my free time? And I think if we honestly do that, we'll probably see more need for corporate prayer, fellowship, personal devotions, and less need for activity, recreation, and entertainment. What I see as a goal is to bring more people into a personal relationship with Christ, and then they themselves see Sunday as a provision to worship Him with other believers and rest from their labors to fellowship with believers. And not only Sunday, but Wednesday night, midweek Bible studies in homes, or whatever other ministry God opens in the future, these things become time set apart for honoring the Lord of the Sabbath. But the main thing to remember is this: let us not forget the heart of the matter. Let us not create standards that neglect the service to others like the Pharisees did. Let us not pursue religion without the relationship of Christ. Let us remember that our relationship with God is for the purpose of serving others and not ourselves. So our Sabbaths and the rest of our week is to that end, glorifying God and serving others. Why? Because we who were weary from our work found rest in Jesus Christ. And now He is the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of our rest. So the final question is this: have you found rest in the Lord of the Sabbath? Have you found a release of self-efforts in Him? Do you feel like you've been working for the evil one and there's no rest for your souls? If not, would you listen to his words when he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Father in heaven, I pray, if anyone listening feels that they need to find that rest in you, would they come to you now? Ask you for forgiveness of their sins and be given a new heart that is set at rest. May they take your yoke upon themselves. May they take the plow that you give them and enter into that rest of a new life. Father God, may you be glorified in all that we do every day. For you are the Lord of the Sabbath and you are the Lord of our lives. Praise be to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.